The only chance of freedom lay in their direction. Over, under, around, or through had been the traitor's rule, meaning that there was always a way. The only possibility here was through. Two more bullets from the blaster took out the scalies guarding the left side of the line. Ryan ran at them, waving the Sig Sauer, conscious of only having four rounds left in the mag. A skinny man made a sudden, unexpected dive toward him, pulled up short by the chain around his throat. But Ryan's reflexes were too quick. He snapped off a shot, the bullet only creasing the side of the captive's pallid face as he was jerked backward. He still went down, pulling everyone else with him. Ryan tried to dodge, slipping on the wet, greasy stones, falling to one hand and one knee, barely keeping his balance and avoiding losing hold of the blaster. The man he'd wounded was thrashing like a gaffed eel, fingers grasping at Ryan's leg. The mark of the bullet stood out livid on the man's skin.
No, please!
Fucking stop it, Thebe!
Shoot him!
Got him, boss!
Fireblast, that was close.
Ryan hadn't figured on Scalies being able to shoot with that much accuracy, and he began to jink and dodge. Ahead of him, the street was empty, with a crossroads looming wide and clear. Now he was sure that he could hear the loud rumble of a gas-powered engine. Scalies didn't drive wags, he thought to himself. Then again, they also didn't form themselves into bastard armies with lightning badges on their black berets. He slowed to a jog, looking behind him, and wondering if he had time to change mags on the blaster. The bullet near his feet convinced him to keep moving. In the distance, from a side alley, he saw a dozen Scalies appear, most of them armed with blasters. The net was closing, and fast. In the cellar, JB seemed to have gone into a catatonic trance. His body was stiff and rigid, legs and arms like staves of beechwood, the muscles of his neck taut and quivering. His mouth was pulled back in a rictus of pain, like the grin of a corpse. His eyes were nearly shut, but they showed a narrow strip of white beneath the lids. Christy and Doc stood to one side, allowing the light from the fire to fall across their friends, taking care not to get in the way of Mildred as she knelt by JB's side. Her eyes were fixed on the place where JB had been bitten. Her lips were shut tight, and she was breathing through her nose.
No, Mildred.
It's the only way.
I'll do it.
Mildred looked at Doc.
Bravest thing you ever said, Doc. I won't forget it. But it's down to me. I've got to do it.
Another smaller patrol of the lizard-like muties had appeared on Ryan's right, shutting him off completely from the direction of safety. The only route still not closed was westerly, where they could herd him through the great dockside to the edge of the river, and there they would take him. Finally, the wag appeared, heading for Ryan. It was less than 60 yards away, cutting him off from the large group of Scalies. At a quick glance, it looked to Ryan like an armored wreck wag, eight-wheeled. If it held Scalies, then the heavy machine gun on the turret would quickly wipe him away. As the wag came to a shuddering halt 20 paces in front of him, the turret began to swing. Now he saw that the blaster was a Bushmaster automatic cannon. It stopped, pointing directly at him. The entry port, just forward of the turret, began to open. Doc had put some thin, dry sticks on the fire. They now burned with a bright golden flame, filling the basement with warmth and light. Now they could all see the swelling on the side of JB's face very clearly. Near the angle of the jaw, they could see that the lump extended down to his neck, and they could see what was inside the lump.
No, they're hatching.
The surface of JB's skin was stretched so tightly that movement could almost be detected. The movement of the wriggling maggots, progeny of the eggs that had been laid in the moment of the muti fly's sting. There were hundreds of them, coiling and twining as they fed on JB's living flesh.
Put that can of water in the fire to boil.
Doc just stood and stared at the sore. In places, the tiny voracious worms had already begun to eat their way out, perforating the skin of the man's cheek, seething in their warm nest as they hatched.
Doc, now!
Ryan blinked, unable to believe what he was seeing. Over the years, he'd come across a number of books and magazines with all sorts of pictures of the times before Skydark. Any from December showed illustrations of the mythical figure called Santa Claus, sometimes called Father Christmas. As the entry port opened, a face appeared, rising from the dark depths of the wag. The hair was white and wavy, curling around the ears. A full beard and mustache were also white as snow. The eyes, under bushy white brows, were bright blue. There wasn't much left to see of the rest of the visage, but the cheeks were rosy, as though the man had been sitting too close to a fire. To add to the surreal apparition, he was also wearing a bright scarlet sweater with long sleeves. Behind Ryan, a rifle cracked, and the bullet pinged off the front of the wag, leaving a raw scrape of bright silver metal.
Best be moving, Audi!
Ryan didn't hesitate, vaulting up on the front of the black-painted vehicle. The jovial figure vanished, and he was able to slide into the port.
Close the hatch, Audi, or we'll be getting scalies in our laps.
Ryan was aware that there were at least two other men inside, as well as the Whitebeard. One was in the driver's seat, peering out through the obslit, wearing goggles. The other could be seen from the thighs down, standing, head and shoulders in the turret.
Want me to roast him, Harry?
Like killing ants with molten silver, Lee.
Back home?
And don't spare the horsepower.
Sure you don't want a few rounds up their scaly asses?
Haste is waste. Let's go. Unless you have anywhere you particularly prefer, Mr.
Carter. Ryan Carter. You're Harry...
Harry Stanton. People sometimes call me...
The King of the Underworld. Smallville, isn't it?
Christy watched, impassive, managing to overcome her revulsion. In the far corner, Doc was stooped over.
I am terribly sorry, Mildred. I just caught a glimpse of those worms eating through... Excuse me.
Mildred ignored him, ignored everything except the task of trying to save JB. Using the point of one of the armorer's knives, she managed to open up the swelling, lancing it so that the tiny maggots erupted out across his face and neck in a writhing, seething mass. Mildred scraped them away, trying to clear out the suppurating wound. The smell of decay seemed to expand until it filled the entire cellar.
Are you almost... Oh, God, the smell!
Christy had to call on all of her inner power not to go with Doc. Mildred continued to breathe fast and shallow through parted lips.
I can't get them all. I need something like a suction pump. Still some buried in the subcutaneous layers. Oh, shit!
What?
Just realized... There is no compressed air suction pump here in Deathlands.
Of course not.
So I have to do it.
Do what, Mildred? I don't get... Oh, Gaia, no. No, you can't.
If I don't, he'll die. Even if I do this, then he'll still probably not make it unless Ryan can come back with some sort of antibiotic.
Doc had straightened and was lifting the dented metal can of water off the fire, using a piece of old blanket. The liquid was bubbling and steaming.
The water is ready, Mildred.
Seeing what she was about to do, he knelt and placed the can on the floor with the most painstaking care before rushing to his corner for a third time. Mildred bent over, bringing her face closer and closer to the festering sore with its lacy veil of minute worms. And she began to suck it clean with her lips. Ryan had watched through the front passenger's obslit as the wag roared at full throttle into the gang of scalies, scattering them. There was the distinctive metallic thud as the wing clipped one of the muties, sending him spinning to the side.
Nice driving, Sam. He should be giving his blood at the local blood bank and not on the highway. And this is Broderick Crawford saying, see you next week.
Bet you never heard of him, did you, Ryan?
No.
Old actor on the vids, a prog called Highway Patrol. Had a kind of homily each time. I got a whole run back home. Could show you.
Whoa!
Ryan grabbed at a sissy bar in front of him to keep steady.
Ho, ho, ho! Take it easy there, Sam. Remember that a clown at the circus is real funny, but on the highway, he's a killer.
Where'd you get the diesel for this wreck wag?
Know what it is?
I think so. A friend of mine would know better. I think it's an LAV, 25 or 6. Got a 6-cylinder engine. Close to 300 horsepower. Does about 60 miles an hour on smooth pavement. And it'll go in water. How's that?
This, friend who knows even more than you about weaponry. Name wouldn't be Dix, would it?
How you hear of J.B. Dix?
I know you, Ryan. Remember your face. Remember what a cold-eyed, bitchin' bastard you were, even as a young kid.
I don't remember you.
It was only a few weeks after you joined up with the traitor. You were too busy keeping